seems that works for the most people who doesn't work for you.
I don't know.
But I think it works for everyone else. So my apologies, I couldn't find the data which I worked for.
Oh well.
That being the case, you still have a conflict with Rabbi Brander until 2:30?
That's Tuesday, not
Yeah, I'm talking about Tuesday.
I'm saying Tuesday we had our last time, but in advance, that's what I was like.
Oh, so you don't have it next week?
No.
No, we're done.
Ah, so you can do it earlier?
Yeah.
Can we do it earlier than, can we leave the heist earlier than 2:30 and then 3?
Yeah, that's
good.
Yeah.
What's early as you can go?
You prefer earlier? Let me find that from Rabbi Shakin. We could have lunch in my house then, and then do the tour maybe. Maybe we'll do a chabur too. Okay, let me just you're flexible. Okay, good. So we'll figure that out. Okay, sorry, Russell. You're out all day?
Oh, just the afternoon.
The afternoon starting at what time?
Well, I'm free between like 11 and say 2.
Oh, so you could come till 2?
If we're back here by 2, sure.
Or if you have your own car, then you can get
I don't have a car.
Okay, figure that out.
If someone would give me a car, I wouldn't mind.
Is the recorder?
But I have it, mine recording here.
Where's that?
Coming from a meeting, I guess. That's what he said.
Okay. Sorry? Is Avi going to have trouble converting that again? Like,
I have absolutely no idea, but we can deal with that if he does.
Fine, okay, so run?
Yeah.
Okay, so we discussed last time the machlokas between Chaim Moser and the Dvar Avram as to the contemporary application of the Ritva's Agav would say Gamar Vikil. The Ritva has a formulation that the reason that Geiros L'shem Ishus is valid, at least post facto, is because there's a certain pressure, a certain communal pressure, if you will, that would force someone who's Megayer, even when there's ulterior motivation, to toe the line and become an observant Jew. So, based on that, the Jew is Achiezer, Chelo Gimel, Simon Kavav, assumed that absent any explicit or any contrary indication, if Bezdin presumes that the candidate to be Megagel Hashem Ishius is going to be properly Mekabel Mitzvos, and they have no indication otherwise, even if it's Hashem Ishius, then the gavers would be valid, and the Dvar Avraham is skeptical that nowadays that kind of communal pressure doesn't exist anymore, the societal pressure, and therefore he's more skeptical about gavers Hashem Ishus even being together. Now, presumably, even the Dvar Avraham will agree that if the Dvar Avraham is only saying that you have to be concerned about the Dvar Avraham Shablev, the person isn't sincere. But if Beis Din estimates that the person is sincere and is clear after the fact that the person was sincere and there was a proper Kavel Simitzah, so presumably the Dvar Avraham would agree that the Gevus was valid. And Achiezer presumably would agree that if, or clearly agrees, that if Beis Din does have indication that the Gevus is not sincere and there is no Kabbalah Simitzah, so the Gevus wouldn't be good. So the level of Machlokas is somewhat limited, the case in which they actually argue, I think. Rabbi Usher Weiss has the following observation, which is printed in one of his pieces in Darki Hara, Volume Yud Beis, which was dedicated to Gevus, where he says, if you look at the Ritva carefully, it sounds like the Ritva's whole premise of Agav Unseh Gamar V'Kibbol is not really relevant or expressed in the context of Gevus Hashem Ishus. So read the Ritva carefully. The Ritva was bothered by a specific question. How could it be, Amanda Amar, that the Kusim are Geri Arayos? What about the position of Kulam Gerim Hay? That if we assume, like the Chacham and the Reb Nechemya, that any Gevus Hashem Dabar Acher is valid plus facto Kulam Gerim Hay, so why is it that there's a day that the Kusim are Geri Arayos and not a valid Gevus? So the Ritva answers, Agav Unseh Gamar V'Kibbol, that the Ritva, the way Rashi says, is talking specifically about Geri Arayos. Geri Arayos, there, there was a clear onus. There was an actual physical threat that they were going to be devoured by the lions if they didn't convert. So there, that's literally Agavunse Gamer Vekibel, not the Agavunse Gamer Vekibel of the Gemara of Basra Memchesa, Tluyu Bezavin Zvine Zvine, that if someone holds a gun to your head and tells you to sell him, tells you to sell him your property, then that's considered Gamer Vekibel, Gamer Vehekna, but only the Ones of Arayos, but it wasn't said in the context of the Shemishas. So Rav Asher says that that's the case, and the whole premise of the Dvar Avram is wrong, and that's not the reason that we assume Kulam Geirim. Now, I would have said, if you don't have Agavunse Gamer Vekibel, it could be it's more of a Kula, not more of a Chumra. It could be it's more of a Chumra, not more of a Kula, meaning, if you don't have that explanation, then presumably the reason Kulam Geirim is that we anyway have reason to believe that the Geirim is good, that there was, let's say, a proper Kabbalah of Mitzvahs, independent of the fact that there's an onus. So if you take out Agavunse Gamer Vekibel from the mix, I would have said that even without the threat of onus, you have the right to assume, as Rav Chaim Ossian says, Dvarim Shav Leivein Dvarim, and the Geirus is a good Geirus. So Rav Asher thinks that if you take Agavunse Gamer Vekibel, it ends up being a Kula, but I would say maybe it ends up being a Chumra. He acknowledges anyway that the Nimukah Yosef does not sound that way. The Nimukah Yosef on Daf Hayam and Beis was the same line as the Ritva of Agavunse Gamer Vekibel addresses that in the context of L'shem Yishus. Time of the Leosi, they came in the Mizgari of the Kibbalah and Chazaku Dagab and say Gamer Vekibbalah. So he's talking not about Gerer Rias. She's talking about regular L'shem Yishus. He's not coming from the Gerer Rias Kasha. The Rashi says, well, maybe that Lashon is Agav Lashon by Gerer Rias. I don't know. Neither does it may. I think that the level of the actual case in which the Dvar Avraham argues on Chaim Ozer may be somewhat limited. We ended off last time quoting the Tshuva of the Rambam Per Hador, that's quoted by many Achronim, chief among them, but not the first, Reb Chaim Ozer, that the Rambam was asked about a case of a shivcha living in a home of a Jewish male, where there is some rinon or some coal that maybe that was inappropriate, the violation at least of Isser Yichud, perhaps even more. So the Rambam said that the lechachila is that this person should get rid of this shivcha, but if that's not going to happen, then he could be meshachar her, and then he could even marry her, and that wouldn't be a violation of nikkan. And the Rambam there has the formulation of Mutav Sheyochel Rotev Velo Shuman Atzmo, or another version, Mutav Sheyochel Basar Temusos, that better that he should essentially violate an Isser Kal rather than violate an Isser Chomer. So even though there may be a concern of Nitan, that's relatively an Isser Kal compared to the other alternative, the Rambam says under those circumstances, better to avoid an Isser Kal and not an Isser Chomer. So Chaim Ozer points out it's true that that's only talking about Nitan and only talking about Shivcha. So who's to say that you'd extrapolate from that to a case of Geirus L'shem Yishus to allow you to be Megayer someone where the motivation is L'shem Yishus, because if you're not going to be Megayer them, then they're going to live together the Isser, and if you're not going to Megayer them, maybe they'll go to the Reform Rabbi and have a Reform conversion, so better to help them. So, number one, Reb Chaim Ozer acknowledges we don't really see that extension with the Rambam. First of all, the Rambam is talking about where you're being Meshachar Shivcha versus living together with her B'Isser. So, there's all the same person violating the Isser Kal as opposed to the Isser Chomer. But here we're making Bezdin violate the Isser of being Megayer Sama L'shem Yishus. So who's to say that you have the right to tell Bezdin to violate this Isser, let's say the Rabbanan, of being Megayer Sama L'shem Yishus, just to save the parties from worse averos. Again, all with the assumption that there's going to be the proper kavod of mitzvahs and the geirus otherwise would have all the trappings of a halachically valid geirus. So Chaim Ozer says, still, you could be makel. He writes as follows, Mikol Mokom Nira Ledid Kevan Degam Im Lotis Gayer. This is the end of Ozayin. Simon Kavvav Ozayin in Chelagim. Kevan de Imlo Tiskayir, Hariti Shara Etzlo Vigiyusa, since if they're not going to be Megayir her, they're going to live together anyway and she'll remain non Jewish, MK ain't calling Shem Ishus. What does the Shem Ishus mean? It means that if you don't proceed with the Skeris, they're not going to live together, and if you proceed with the Geirus, they will live together, so that's Geirus and Shevishus. But if they're living together anyway, irrespective of whether you're going to do the Geirus, he says that's not the Shevishus. Ubifrat, Lamasha Kasafta, right into the Shoah, Listape, Kibo Neres, Chekabanas, Lashem Geirus, Lashem Shemaya, and she claims that she really has sincere motivations. Ve'ein umdana demuchach lehebab legabu musa, and as he said earlier, if you don't have an umdana demuchach, that she's not sincere, that she's not going to be mekabel mitzvahs, he could be mekabel her. V'alkei nira delefi ra'os einei bezdin, yesh makom lahakel, v'lismoch al haras Rav Shlomo Kluger. What was haras Rav Shlomo Kluger? So Rav Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva in Tuv Tam V'das Simen Reish Lamed. Tuv Tam V'das Simen Reish Lamed. Rav Shlomo Kluger has a fascinating kula that maybe the whole Isser b'megayir sub l'shem ishus only applies if they weren't yet living together. Because once they're living together at some point, so then it's not the same level of Yisro Tokfo. And that's not really l'shem ishus. So it's low talk of Yisrei. And then a bezdin could be mekabel this perspective giyavas lechachila. Again, assuming everything else is placed. That's the big finish. Chaim Ozer isn't necessarily accepting Shlomo Kluger's svaras, but he's just quoting him as paskening that in such a case you could be mekel on the shayla b'megayv shemishus, assuming that there is independently sincere motivation. So that's Chaim Ozer's bottom line, based on an extension of this Rambam in the Shuvas Perador. That there's going to be made that Lefi Ros Einai HaBezdin to be Megayir Saman L'Shem Ishus. Question? So that point of Rav Chaim Ozer, that it's not considered to be L'Shem Ishus where they're going to live together anyway, whether or not you do the Geirus, now, parenthetically, we'll talk soon, not this week, probably next week, that Kabbalah submits in generally, so in general, parenthetically, in a situation in where they're going to live together, which they're going to live together anyway, so then that raises significant questions about the sincerity of the Kabbalah submits if they're violating Isurim anyway before the Geirus. But we'll get to that. But strictly speaking, if you can accept that kind of an argument, that if they're going to live together anyway, that's not called L'Shem Isha, strictly speaking. So Rav Avadia has the following extension. Rav Avadia is Yabia Omer Chela Ches Yoredeya Simen Kafdalid Ostalid. Again, Yabia Omer Chela Ches Yoredeya Simen Kafdalid Ostalid. He points out that the Gemara in Yevamos Ayin Vav discusses the Geirus of Bas Paro, as we briefly alluded to last time. So the Gemara there raises a question: wasn't that L'Shem Shulchan Malachim? Bas Paro converted in order to marry Shlomo, in order to have a upgrade in her status. So that's one of the examples the Gemara has of Geirus Hashem Davar Acher, Hashem Shulchan Malachim. So the Gemara answers Lo Tzricha. What's Lo Tzricha? Rashi explains Lo Tzricha, that she already was a Bas Melech. So that's not really Geirus Hashem Shulchan Malachim. She's already Paro's daughter. So if Stam a commoner would have converted to marry the king, so then that's Shulchan Malachim. That's Geirus Hashem Davar Acher, that you can't do L'Chachilu. But here, Bas Paro was already a Bas Melech. So she wanted to go from one palace to another palace. That's not considered Geirus Hashem Davar. So Ravadia says, even though it's true that there would be an upgrade of status, Paro at that time didn't compare to Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech was the top of the world in Ruchnius and Gashmius. So that would have still been an upgrade. Ravadi says, you see that a upgrade is not enough to make it considered l'shem davar. So to go from 0 to 100, that's l'shem davar. To go from 90 to 100, that's not considered l'shem davar. So in Cain, transpose that to our situation. You have a couple that's living together anyway. Now she wants to be Megayer. So you could argue that's not considered l'shem ishus, even though there are certain benefits to being Megayer. Now his family will accept her. She can be part of the community. There are other fringe benefits to living together, beheter rather than iser. But fundamentally, because the gerus isn't necessary for the continuation of the relationship because they're living together anyway, so maybe that's not considered to be l'shem ishus.
Question on that?
Yeah.
Let's just say a little clearer that it became clear that they were, you know, let's just say like the Jewish partner says, you know, I'm going to stop living with you, or I'm going to, you know, divorce you if you don't convert. So would that then change that? Like they're living together, right? But then it comes out that there actually might be a chance of the relationship or not if there wasn't conversions. Would that change?
So as far as this specific argument, maybe, yes. Yeah, so then maybe this story doesn't apply in that case. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, back to the Rambam Peir Hador of the Mutav Sheyochel Basar to Musos. There's a tshuva of the Beis Sharim. Beis Sharim was the Rav of Chust in Hungary in the early part, one of the Rabbanim there in the early part of the 20th century. So he notes that quote unquote, this Chuvas Rambam Peir Hador. He actually says his son showed it to him. And he has the following observation. He says, very nice that you uncovered a Rambam Chuvas Saviad, but it's not quoted anywhere in Halacha. So let's say, so let's assume that you could extrapolate from the Rambam's Shifcha to a case of Geirus. So even though the Rambam's only talking about a Shifcha, and he's talking about the Isur Nitan, and you want to extrapolate that notion of Takanas HaShavim, that where there are extenuating circumstances, you want to be Mimaydi of Veiros, so then you could be Megayer, someone that's not considered L'shem Ishus, and it will be an Isur Nitan. Okay, but who's to say that we assume like the Rambam LaHalacha? It's not quoted in Torah, it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, it's not quoted in Boskin. So even if you'll make all these assumptions, but who's to say that that's l'halacha? So, first of all, it sounds like the Achronim that do quote the Rambam quoted Liesser Seis. They're comfortable with the argument even without the Rambam Peir Hador. But leaving that aside, Rav Avadya writes, Chelechas Yerodea Simen Kavdal, the same should be quoted before Oschas. Chelechas Yerodea Simen Kavdal and Oschas. Hagufa. The reason no one quoted the Rambam Peir Hador is because no one had the Rambam Peir Hador. It's Tzav Yad. The Rishonim didn't have access to it. The Tor didn't have access to it. The Beis Yosef didn't have access. That's why it's not quoted. Had they seen it, they definitely would have quoted it. And then he quotes Kama Bekama Mekoros, Arias, to this general principle of when we can rely on Rishonim that we recently discovered in Rishonim Kisvayat that the earlier authorities didn't have access to it.
Okay. I don't like, include like, you know, like Meiri. Also, like, that's like a big argument against like Meiri. I'm like, oh, sorry, is that like, you know,
right, the Chassin Ishah, the other camp, but that's through Vadia of Marmakobos, and that's not really our topic. And then he says he's bothered by the argument that the Achiezer acknowledged that over there what's going to happen in the case of the Raman Shifcha, if you're Meshachar her and you're going to marry her, so you did the Aveira and you're being Marvia, that you're not violating a bigger Aveira. But over here, aside from the fact that it's Bezdin that, so to speak, violated the Aveira to save this guy, and maybe we should say, Hali Taylor Rasha V'yamos, that's not our concern to say people are violating the Aveiras anyway, but more fundamentally, maybe the Gerus won't even be good at all. Why? Because once she's misgayer, so then there's going to be a violation of the Isser of Nitha, if he's going to marry. So she's converting, and she's assuming that she's going to marry this guy, so that's going to be a violation of the Isser Nitha, and if you don't rely on the coolest of Nitha that we discussed last time, so we'll see the Gemara in Becharos, that if you're Megayer with the commitment of being the Kabbal all mitzvahs, supposed to be Dabar Echad, that you're going to be Kabbal everything except for one detail, even if it's not Gugeris. So she's converting with the understanding that she's going to violate the Yisr Nitha. So that's considered Gugeris supposed to be Dabar Echad, and maybe the Gugeris isn't even Chal B'di'evet, so you haven't accomplished anything. Again, if you have the arguments as to why we make a banitan, Rashi and Rashi we discussed last time, so then that's not a concern. And then he says, if you look at the Rambam carefully, the way the Shuv and the Rambam and the Shaila was presented, it was the case of a woman who was suffered Jewish. The Shivka might have been Jewish anyway. So Al-Tzadla, she was Jewish, she's a Penuya. Israel din of Nitan al-Penuya, that's a Machlokas Rishonim, so even if we're mocking that in general, it could be that here, Bitsira, if you could be Mekel, so he thinks that the Rambam in the Parador is not a model for a standard L'shem Nishas. Be that as it may, bottom line, most poskim of the recent generations are Mekel fundamentally on Gamers L'shem Nishas in a situation, obviously, where there's proper Kabbalah Samitzvos, and Bezin is comfortable that there's independent sincerity beyond the relationship, and Bezin is comfortable that even if the relationship would fall apart, then the person would continue to be an observant Jew, and there's a comfort level that there's proper integration in the community, etc., whatever we would expect from a Ger or Gioras, that it would be a proper process and they're going to keep with the program. But with all those caveats, fundamentally, the general approach of Bezin Din is to be Megayer people, even where the initial impetus is the Shem Ishos, as long as everything else is in place and there's independently sincere motivation, because of any of these arguments of the Rama Parador, or maybe it's strictly speaking now with Shemishas, or as we quoted in front of Beis Yosef, based on the Gemara in Shabbos by Hillel, the Gemara Mendalit and Menachos, that Abedin has the prerogative to be Megayer someone, Lefi Rose Neim, even where there does seem to be some other motivation, if they believe that everything's going to end up fine in the end, that all is well, that ends well. So, whatever those cheshbonos are, general practice of Bate Din is to not automatically dismiss someone where there's a L'shem Ishos factor. There's going to be a stronger level of suspicion, a stronger level of examination to make sure that the candidate is appropriate and that everything is going to be followed to. So maybe a longer process than someone else coming in with no relationship. But most Bais Din do deal with cases where the initial impetus is L'shem Ishos. There are some notable exceptions in America, I'll mention names, the people who won't touch a case L'shem Ishos, but most Bais Din will. Okay. Let's move on to our next subtopic. We know the Torah tells us that there are, Parshas Kisei, some subclasses of nations that we're not allowed to be Megayer, so Amodi Moavi coming up on Shavuos, Amodi Moavi can never be Megayer, Mitzri Adomi can be Megayer, but Ador Shlishi, they can't marry more Jews. So that is quoted Lahalacha in Eben Ezra Siman Dalet. Beginning with Sif Beis, Amoni Moavi Yisur and Yisur and Yisur Olam Val Nekvasei Mutaris Miyad. Right, Amoni below Amoniyah, Moavi below Moaviyah. Mitzvi Vadomi Einam Asurim Ela Ashtosh Adoros Efet Zachar Beefet Nekevos. Shafresh in Eskayir Hu Ubenosh No Lo Afresh in Eskayir Asurim Ubemen Amotis. So third generation means the third generation from the Ger. The Ger can marry a born Jew, the Ger's son can marry a born Jew, but the Ger's grandson can marry a born Jew. That's a restriction of Mitzri Ve'edomi. And then the Mechaber tells us in Sif Yud, Ha'inna Nisbabu Kol Zmos. Nowadays, we don't know who anyone really is anymore. Lefikach amoni umo aviv adoni shenesgaru mutarim lava bakalmiyat. So even if someone presents himself as an Ammoni and a Moavi, and he tells you that he's been living in Jordan for the last 2,000 years, but that doesn't have any standing, so they are Mutar Lava B'Kal Miyad. They're called the Parish Ruba Parish. Vanu Tolim Shehum Neiro V'Humot Shem Mutar Miyad. L'Rambam V'Wadil Misri L'Rash Misri B'Sur Yomit. So that's a Machlokas Rishonim by Mitzri. Maybe Mitzri is different. The Santero was Mavavil called Umas, but maybe not the Mitzrim. And maybe those Mitzrim that live in Mitzrayim for the last 2,000 years would be Aser to be Megayer. So that's 2 days in Rishonim. Fine. So there is a curious tshuva of the Ivis of Yaakov Emden. Shelas Yavis Chelik Aleph Simen Mem Vav, where he suggests that maybe there should be a reluctance to be Mekabel Gerim nowadays that live in Rome. That if people are born and bred Romans for going back many generations, maybe the Romans in Rome are really descendants of Edom directly, and maybe we shouldn't be Megayer Italians or people who live in Rome. Just like the Rosh says by Mitzrim, that Mitzrim nowadays are still the Mitzrim of old, because they didn't move anywhere. So maybe historically that's true in Rome, and we should be concerned not to be Megayer people from Rome. The Piskei Teshuva makes reference to this Yavetz. I don't think that Batei Din nowadays are really cautious for the position of the Yavetz. I think we have had a couple Italian Gerim. I don't know if anyone was from Rome proper. I'm not sure whether the Yavetz's chashash is limited to Rome or how far out in the rest of Italy. But as a practical matter, I don't think Batei Din are terribly concerned about this Yavetz. There is another curious question as to whether there's a restriction on being Megayer Amalekim. So there's a Milchilta de Rashbi in Parshas Bishalach on the Pasuk Kiyad al Kes Ka, which discusses the exchange between David HaMelech and the Ben Ish Ker Amaleki, who represented that he had killed Shaul HaMelech. So the way the Milchilta presents that conversation, the Milchilta writes, Lo Sashah, Nisker David Ma'namar Lola Moshe Rabbo. So David HaMelech remembered what Moshe Rabbeinu heard, was told. She'im Yavo Mikol Umo Sa'ola Lizgayer Yikabu Osam. That if someone comes from the other nations of the world to be Megayer, we accept them. Me'amolek Lo Yikabu Osam Yisrael. But we do not accept Gerim from Amolek. But Yomer Lab David Dam Chal Roshcha Kipicha V'chule. So it sounds like the reason David was comfortable killing this then Ish Ger Amaleki was because he held that the Geirus wasn't good and you couldn't be Megayer and Amaleki at all. And there's some Mistora that the Medrash references from Moshe Rabbeinu that David was aware of that you can't be Megayer a Ger Amaleki. So some of the Achronim are bothered by the Gemara and the Sanhedrin of the Bnei Ban of Shalhaman Lom Dutar B'Bnei Brak. So Haman was a card-carrying Amaleki, and there's reference to his descendants learning Torah B'Bnei Brak, and presumably that means they were Jewish, because the Nachmi is not allowed to learn Torah. So how could that be if you can't be Nair and Amaleki? So if you look in the Emek Bracha of Aryeh Pomeranchik and the piece on Mechias Amalek, so he has the following, he develops the following idea, that the fundamentally, if one were to be Megayer and Amaleki, the Geirus would be Chal, Bidiyevet. The only reason that you can't be Megayer and Amaleki is because then you'd be Mevatel, the myth of Mechias Amalek. So you have an imperative to eradicate Amalek, so if you're being Megayer and Amaleki, you're doing the opposite of eradicating him, you're begging one of us. So that would be the Chagaris of Michal, but that's a bittul of Mechiyas HaMalik. And then he says, what was the correspondence in this Medrash that we did David and the Ben Ish Gera Maliki? So he says, no, David was suspicious that he wasn't telling the truth, that he wasn't really a Gera Maliki, but it was a real Amaliki, and there's no Geras, because what Bez did would have been a Gair and a Maliki Shiloki did. Now, you can ask on that, we saw the Rambam and the Chacham Esfar, that apparently in the time of David Shlomo, there were these Badi Din Shel Yodos that were converting 150,000 other people. So it sounds like there were plenty of pseudo-upstart Badi Din in the time of David HaMelech that were converting people that shouldn't have converted. So it doesn't sound like that's such a kasha, how some of it is a Gagim, but be that as it may, that's what the Yemen Brachot suggests, that fundamentally the Gairis would be good with the Evet, the reason you can't be Megari Malek is because it would be a bit of Mechiyas HaMalek. Yeah.
Let's
say that is being more common. Like, can you even kind of be your comments by eating it?
Before is what I eat.
I'm saying, you're saying the same way.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe, nah.
The chizma likes the taste of sour, the feisted, and killing.
It sounds like he's assuming that from not just removing an Amaliki from the world, but it's killing the Amaliki. That's what it sounds like he's assuming. Okay. The Chazanish talks about this also in Eben Ezer, Simen Kuf Mem Vav Os Hei. Simen Kuf Mem Vav Os Hei. He suggests that maybe the Isser of the Megarin Amaliki is the only one who are in a state of war. So when Amalek's actively fighting us, he can't be Megarin Amaleki. But otherwise, maybe yes. Or maybe the descendants of Haman, where there's some Sveigos there, people mix up, whatever the case may be. Okay.
Does that mean the Chazanish holds that the Megarin
Amaleki
only applies during active combat, not
otherwise? No, the Chazanish isn't... The Emek Bracha made this dependent on Luchiyas HaMalek. Chazanish is in addressing Luchiyas HaMalek. So you said, why would he... He's asking, how could anyone argue that Emek Bracha isn't that it's so obvious that that you have to kill him before you can even guide him? So maybe he sounds right, or maybe that's not... that's true, but that doesn't affect the status of the Geirus, if you were to be Megayr. Not sure. Okay. Fine. So, if you read the Gemara in Yevamos Mem Zayin Amud Aleph to Amud Beis that we started with, the conversation that a Bez was supposed to have with a prospective Ger or Geiris, disabusing them of any misconceptions they may have about Torah Mitzvos, and making sure they understand what they're buying into. And then the Gemara says that if everything else checks out, then Mekabel Nesamiyat Shuhiya Mitzvah Mashina. So, you get the impression, if you read the Gemara literally, that you know, a ger comes in front of wherever he comes from, they have this conversation, and then immediately you bring them to the mikveh and you're a megayir them. So in practice, it doesn't work that way. The Minchas Olazer points out in Tshuvas Chela Dalet Simen Samach Gimel, that if you were to be megayir, some of the meaning they come in and they express an interest in being megayir, without giving them the proper educational background to live their lives as an observant Jew, then you're going to be mashal them, you're going to violate lifnei iver. So this isn't quite the way he says it, I'll tell you what he says, but broadly speaking, you'll be megayir him, he doesn't know how to keep Shabbos, he doesn't know how to keep kosher, he doesn't know how to keep anything. So what service are you doing in being megayir him so he commits to everything, he'll agree that he'll do whatever you tell him to do. But he doesn't know what to do yet. So you're going to be Megayrim, he's going to be Chal Shabbos, he's going to eat Tartus, he's going to violate everything because he doesn't know what to do. The way the Minchas Lozer says it is his focus is more on Tefillah and Siddur. That you have to know how to daven from a Siddur, you have to know how to say Kriya Shema. So you're going to be Megayrim before teaching him a Kriya Shema, before teaching him Tefillah, then he's not going to know what to do and you're going to violate Lifnei Iver. Minchas Lozer says that's more of an issue now than it used to be. Why is the Gemara not tell you this? Why does the Gemara not tell you? Well, you have to teach him Siddur and teach him Kriyat Shema and teach him everything. So it could be that that's obvious. The Gemara is assuming that he knows what to do, and this is just a conversation about making sure he understands the big picture. But the Minchas Lazer says things used to be different, because it used to be, number one, Mikra Adin, Kriyat Shema is Namar B'Chalashon, Tefillah is Namar B'Chalashon. So it used to be that you could daven in the vernacular, and you'd be no worse off. And it used to be that the Shliach Tzibur was really mostly a rabbi b'day chavasim. So if you went to shul, you didn't have to open your mouth. You could yotzei everything from the shas. Nowadays, it's not true. Nowadays, we've accepted in practice that we don't daven the vernacular, that we say kriyas from the original, that we daven the original. And nowadays, the Shliach Tzibur generally not mostly everyone b'day chavasim, everyone has to daven on their own. So the Avim Kamonim, the requirements of someone interested in geiros were, let's say, more minimal than they are now, because the society was different and the orientation to tefillah was different, so there was less that they had to know in order to function within a shul setting. So why he doesn't point out the more obvious issues that you have to know Shabbos and Kashrus and all the big things, I'm not sure, but presumably it's all part of the same notion, that in order to properly be Megayer, in order for Bezdin to have a comfort level with someone being Megayer, they have to know what they're doing. They have to be properly educated. Minchas Yitzchak in a tshuva has another consideration, that the Bezdin, over time, you'll see exactly what's behind, what are the motivations, what's the commitment, etc. If you're going to be Megayer someone right away, you don't really have a comfort level as to what's in front of you. So if you give it some time, you give them the opportunity to integrate into the observing community, then there is more of a comfort level that Bezdin could have, that there is going to be a proper Kabbalah Shemitzos and proper integration. So as a practical matter, the expectation is that a prospective Geiros candidate is going to be properly educated in how to live an observant life and become somewhat integrated into a firm community before Bezdin is going to proceed with the Geiros. I'll just read to you an excerpt from the GPS Geiros Policies and Standards document that governs the Batei Din that work under our auspices at the RCA, which reads as follows. As far as the halacha is concerned, conversion involves the creation of a transformed, fully reborn new person. Becoming fully part of the Jewish family, one literally acquires a new family, a new life, and as such, one reorients one's entire being. The candidate will be expected to cultivate new friendships, new relationships, new social activities, new Torah commitments. Moreover, as with any Jew, the growth and learning process continues throughout one's life. As a result, a candidate must come to reside in a Torah-observant community. It's not possible to learn and absorb Judaism and Torah living at a distance. It must be experienced on a daily basis, especially on Shabbos and holidays. The candidate must also experience traditional Jewish communal life in order to be familiar with the realities of living as a Jew, both in faith and in peoplehood. Okay, so there are certain halachic issues that need to be navigated as far as instructing a not-yet-Jew in Shmiras HaMitzvah. So fundamentally, as far as the big picture, the Rama Paskins, Hilchos Malachim, Perek Yud, Halacha Yud, that a non-Jew is allowed to perform mitzvos as an Eino Mitzvah V'Osa. So there's nothing wrong with a non-Jew voluntarily performing mitzvahs, and Huadin and Kosher Kain, a Geiros candidate, would be permitted to perform mitzvahs as an Eino Mitzvah V'Osem. However, there is a comment of the Radvaz on the Rama there, Perek Yud Malachim Halacha Yud, where the Radvaz writes that mitzvahs that involve Kedusha V'Tarah, Kigon, Tefillin, Sefer Torah, Mezuzah. They said mitzvahs that have Kedusha V'Tara, like Tefillin, Sefer Torah, and Mezuzah, a non-Jew is not allowed to perform voluntarily.
Am I mistaken? Is there a Gemara that says that according to Shabbos?
I didn't get the Shabbos here. Good. True. Shabbos, Torah, we're going to get there, but we're talking about mitzvahs in general, aside from those big ones. Good, Michael. Yeah, Judah.
Where does that... How does that play out with, like, Sefer Torah? What
does that mean?
Are you not allowed to touch it, Sefer Torah?
Right.
Or
so,
they,
right. So, tefillin means you can't put it up. Mezuzah means you can't put it up. What does Torah mean? Very good question. I asked Rosh Hashanah this once, and Rav Shakti said, maybe in these you can't give him Hotzah or Glil or Hakom. He obviously doesn't write mean that he can't write a Sefer Torah, because he can't write a Sefer Torah anyway. So what could it mean? So touching the Torah is not a mitzvah.
Right.
So Rav Shakti thought, maybe it means you can't give him Kibbutim associated with the Torah. You can't give him Hakom, Glil, Hotzah, Hakmasa. Sam.
Why these strings, like, it's because there's actual words of Torah, and that's Kedushin. Like, I could say a lot of mitzvahs have to do with Kedusha. Like, what does it mean that mitzvah has Kedusha versus right. other mitzvahs?
So in the Radvazah's presentation, he doesn't explain. It sounds like things that are a chetza of Kisvei Kodesh. Tefillin is as a stam. Stam has a certain higher level of Kedusha because it's Kisvei Kodesh in a formal way. Again, it doesn't explain it, but you can see how Stam is on a different level than Stam Shevi Lulav.
Well, there's a Stam Sofar about like Kiligan Behu and where
right.
he's talking about Stam Makiv,
right.
and he compares Shevi Lulav to Sifrei Kodesh, because things that are Dafka, like more directed towards God, is Makiv. So maybe
okay.
Shaking Lula according to Sans or wasn't the best example.
Okay, fine. Anyway, so that's what so the Ravaz says things that have Kedusha with Tara if you go and it says Tefillah, Sefer Torah and Mezuzah. Now Mezuzah is actually aside from the Ravaz, Mezuzah is its own sugya. The Gemara says in Bav Metzia Kuf Beizim and Aleph, Bav Metzia Kuf Beizim and Aleph, Tan Rabbanan, Hamaskir Baizah Chaveiro Ala Soker Lasos Mezuzah. So if you rent out a house, then it's the responsibility of the renter, the person renting the house, to put up a mezuzah. Ukeshiv Yotze, Lo Yulana Biyadav Yotze. However, when the person renting the house leaves, he should not remove the mezuzah with him, he should leave the mezuzah on the door. But if there's going to be a Nachri moving in, then you should take the mezuzah with you. Says the Rimi Lunil in the Sheet of the Bethesir, Bav Metzia Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, Ubegoy im nifnas acharav mitzvah litla. So if a Nachri is coming into the residence after you leave, it's a mitzvah to remove the mezuzah with you. Shema yitlana hagoy v'yinog ba min abizay. Why? Because maybe the Nachri is going to take the mezuzah and he's going to be knowing the minag bizayin, he'll throw it in the garbage, you know what it is. He's not going to treat it properly. Inami, Shem ha'orech sheyirach ha'mezuzah yikanes sham, sheyasavish sheyisrael darsham. Or maybe he'll leave it on, he won't be mevazah, he'll leave it on the door. And then someone's going to come, he's going to see mezuzah on the door, he's going to knock, thinking there's a Jew there. The Yargu, and the Nachri is going to invite him in and kill him. Oh yeah, Lilo will have a Lilus. Or we'll have a blood libel. So, for those reasons, number one, either Minig B'Zayin, or number two, we're concerned that the guy is going to pass himself off as Jewish, so you're not supposed to leave the mezuzah with the guy. These two reasons of the Rimi Lunil are quoted in a Chuvas, not quoted, but reflected in a Chuvas Ma'aril. And the Chuvas Ma'aril is quoted as Allah in the Ramah. Maril is in Shuvas Achadasha Simen Kuf Kaf Gimel. Shuvas Maril Achadasha Simen Kuf Kaf Gimel. He was asked about a local headman who requested a mezuzah to put on his fortress. He thought it would be a school for Shmira, so he asked a local Jew to give him a mezuzah to put in his fortress. And the Jew was afraid that if he didn't give him the mezuzah, then that could unleash the fury of the local governor. So that was a shout-out to Maril. Are you allowed to sell, give a mezuzah to this non-Jewish hegemon? So Maril answers these two answers. Number one, we're concerned that he's going to be mevazeh. I mean, he wants it now because he thinks it's going to protect him. What's going to happen when he realizes it's not protecting him? He'll throw it out. Or what's going to happen? He's going to die at one point. And then his kids will yarshin the estate, the fortress, the castle, and his kids will throw it out not knowing what it is. So you're setting it up for bizayin. And number two, the same concern that maybe he's going to masquerade as a Jew and people may end up getting killed or harmed because of that misimpression. Just like the Gemara Menachos Mem Gimel, that you're not allowed to sell a talos of a tzitzis to a non-Jew. For that reason, as Rashi says here, Menachos Mem Gimel, Shema Yidlu Yisrael, Limel Akum Zeh, Yisrael Yisrael, who Danyesh Lo Tzitzis, we are gay. So this Nachi's going to be walking down the street wearing tzitzis, someone's going to think that he's Jewish, and he's going to end up killing a Jew with that disguise. So this Maril is quoted Lehalacha in the Ramah in Hilchas Mezuzah, Yaradei Asimim Reish Sadi Beis Sif Beis, Yaradei Asimim Reish Sadi Beis Sif Beis, that you're not allowed to give a mezuzah to a Nachri, but the Ramah is a little bit more makel than Maril. He says B'malkom Eva, it's mutter. So the default position is you're not allowed to give it to a Nachri, but B'malkom Eva would be mutter. So as far as the reasons of the Maril, we'll get back to the Rabbaz, as far as the reasons of the Maril and the Rimi Lunil, you could argue that doesn't necessarily apply to a Gayrus candidate. That we're not worried that he's going to be Mevaz of the Mezuzah because he knows what a Mezuzah is. He's learned what a Mezuzah is. That's why he's putting it up. And we're not really concerned that he's going to pass himself off as a Jew and kill other Jews because presumably that's not his intent. Furthermore, the Chuvas Be'er Sheva, Simin Lamed Vav, quotes the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Peya. Yerushalmi in the beginning of Peya has the story of Rebbe and Artiban. Artiban is not a Jewish name. So even though some suggested that maybe Artiban was Jewish, Pashut Shabbos Artiban was not Jewish, and Rebbe had a relationship with Artiban where Artiban sent Rebbe a present, and he asked Rebbe to reciprocate, and Rebbe sent him back a mezuzah, and Artiban said, why are you sending me this piece of paper? And Rebbe says, you sent me something that I have to watch, and I'm sending you something that's going to watch over you. Very nice. But Artiban presumably wasn't Jewish, so why is Rebbe sending Artiban a mezuzah? So the Be'er Sheva suggests, well, maybe Artiban was different because, he says, Rabbeinu HaKadosh haya mechavein la'achshuvinu l'Yisrael be'enav ha'maminu b'yichud Hashem. That he thought that this person, this Artiban, was going in the right direction in his emunah. Kidei l'hamshich libo l'hamin b'yichud Hashem v'yigayir atzma. So he was trying to encourage Artiban to convert because he saw that he was going in the right direction. He understood Yichud Hashem, and he was trying to inspire him to be a Geyer. So he was sending him a message, a representation of Yichud Hashem, to encourage him to be a Geyer. So if that's the case, Be'er Sheva says, normally speaking, the concerns apply, but here, if you think the guy is going to be a Geyer, then you can send him a mezuzah. So that's exactly what we're talking about. According to this Be'er Sheva, there would be another reason a Geirus candidate could potentially put up a mezuzah. And then he says, maybe the issue is only for an Oved Avodah Zarah, and this Artiban wasn't an Oved Avodah Zarah. There is an Etziv, in Ha'emek Shela, Parshas Ekev, Simen Kuf Mem Hei Os Yutes, Simen Kuf Mem Hei Os Yutes, has another suggestion to understand the Yerushalmi. He says, maybe Rebbe didn't send Artiban a real mezuzah. Maybe he sent him like a kamiya or something that wasn't written l'shem Kedushas mezuzah. It wasn't a real mezuzah. Apparently, Senator Hatch wears a mezuzah on his necklace.
Who?
Senator Orrin Hatch from Utah, who is a Mormon. Apparently, he has a mezuzah in the office of his, in the Senate office on the door, and he wears a mezuzah on his neck as a necklace. Whether that's a kamiya, if it's a real mezuzah, I don't know. I'm curious. But that's, do not know. But apparently there was a White House Yom HaTzibut party last week, which I wasn't invited to. but there was Senator Hatch spoke. I didn't hear it myself, but my wife listened to part of it. And he referenced the fact that he wears a mezuzah, and then I looked on the internet and found the New York Times article from 2009 referencing the same fact. So you can try to figure out what it is, but according to the Nesid, if it's only the Shem Kemiah, maybe that would be mutter. Bottom line, so according to the Radvaz has a totally different cheshbon. Because even if you get around the considerations of the Maril of Bizayon, and maybe the Nachi is going to kill you, the Radvaz says, beyond that, even if you can check off all those boxes, there's still this issue of Kedusha V'Tara that you shouldn't have a Nachri perform mitzvahs that involve Kedusha V'Tara, i.e. Tefillin, Sefer Torah, and Mezuzah. So as a practical matter, I think the general practice when it comes to conversion candidates is that they don't put up mezuzahs, and we tell them not to put up mezuzahs until they're actually Megayer. Somebody asked me a question not long ago. A Geyrus candidate moved into a house where their mezuzah is already up. So do you have to take it down? Presumably not. But the general practice is not to put it up. Tefillin also. Rav Shachter thinks that, I think, that a Geyrus candidate should not put on tefillin, which is also the general practice, I think, of Batei Din. The Mishnah Sagera has some cheshbon, maybe under some circumstances, yeah. Some Batei Din have the practice of instructing a Geyrus candidate to start putting on tefillin the last couple of weeks before he's Megayer, just to get into practice, like the Bar Mitzvah boy, according to many Menachem, puts on tefillin a month before. So Rabbi Alan Schwartz told me that Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik told him that you could have the Geirus candidate put on tefillin for 2 or 3 weeks before the Geirus. I think that's a practice that is kept by some Batei Din. But in general, even though we encourage a Geirus candidate to do as many mitzvahs as he can, other than the ones where there are qualifications I'll talk about, tefillin and mezuzah are not on that list. Michael.
Somebody's going to learn topic. Let's say you know the next person moving into your apartment when you leave is going to be a potential gear. So, do we have a mitzvah to still leave it, or should we take it with us?
I don't know. It could be, there are probably grounds to leave it, and there's probably nothing wrong if you were to take it down. So, I can see that both ways.
The mezuzahs on the house, once it becomes a Jew, example,
right?
Like.
Yeah, so then you would have to take it down and put it up again with the bracha.
Anyway, so I mean, like,
well, it's no different than if you take the Rav Shach position of putting up mezuzah even for skivus and chutzlaris within 30 days and then saying bracha on day 30. But yeah. Okay. Next time we'll continue by discussing Shmirah Shabbos and Talmud Torah for Geirus candidates. But one more note. Rav Shachter has the following finish that I never heard anyone else say. That he thinks that even though we trade prospective Geirin in Shmiras HaMitzvahs to the extent possible, but a prospective Geir should not say a Berachas HaMitzvah. Because to say, Asher Kedishan B'Mitzvahs HaMitzivanu Al Blank is a Sheker. It's not true. You don't have to do Shas Yisrael yet. So it's a lie. So you can't train him to say Sheker. So you can't say if there's no Kedusha Sishah. So my colleague Rabbi Run suggested that you could do the following. You tell the prospective Ger to say, a Jew in this situation would say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedushan Mitzvah Mitzivanu Am Netilas Yadayim. So then you're not saying Sheker because it's qualified by the introductory remark. That's kind of like, sort of Zilberstein was quoted as saying a few years ago in Eretz Yisrael there was a massive gathering and there was a shiloh whether there was Shisha Rebo and you could say the bracha of Chama Razim. So he suggested that you just read the halach and Rambam that has the bracha in it with Shema Malchus, and then even though it's a subway to say the bracha, but you're just saying halacha. why that's suggested isn't made anytime you have a suffix bracha. So if I have a suffix, whether I have a shear, say now with nephew, I have a suffix, whether I said a bracha or not, so I should say the halacha shachan aruch with the bracha. No one ever says that, so I'm not sure. But
and Rabbi Ram says that the ger should say every time that
they Rav Schechter like that. Right, Rav Schechter like that suggestion. Say a Jew in this case would say, in this situation would say, Baruch Hashem Okay.
Is that a common practice?
Is that
I don't think
it's common practice, but I think Rabbi Ram started telling people to do that here. Okay. Tomorrow, 3 p.m.